Welcome to Truth Talks with Dr. Anne. I'm so excited to be with you again today, and I have a really special guest by the name of Kamil El-Sheik. I'm going to introduce him in a moment, but first, I want you to take a look at the website. It's called handsoffourkids.ca. That's where you can find this, and this is the website for the 1 million March for Children happening in Canada and in several U.S. cities on September 20th, 2023. This is going to be a pivotal moment in Canada. I encourage you to go to the website and check it out and to see where in your location this march is happening. I encourage every parent, every teacher, any person who has the best interests of our children in mind to come out to protect our children from a very radical indoctrination in our education system. Well, let's go to our special guest. Now, welcome, Kamil. Thank you for being here with us. And you just actually flew back into Canada last night, but we're going to talk a little bit about I want to get to know you a little more, and if you're willing, and we'll talk about a little bit about your past, kind of what you did. You live in Ottawa, Ontario, right? So what
grew up in Ottawa. Yes,
we'll talk about the march.
All right. Yeah, obviously, I'm a businessman in Ottawa. I worked for the city of Ottawa as well. I was in management roles, so as city manager, former auditor. I was in activism all my life. That was for my philanthropy. Being of economics accounting background, I still have a passion to serve my community. I was part of a scholarship club for 15 years, granting scholarships. From my company, we paid that to 4 students a year. So, but activism was part of my life. I just don't like to see suffering of any sort when people are asking for rights. If it's a protest, whether it's the Middle East wars, whether it's just human rights in general, where the government, betrays the public with their rules. I'm usually there. If you Google me, you'll probably see an old speech 10 years ago or 20 years ago. I got everybody's attention now because with this 1 million people march, we managed to unite the nation, Dr. Nin.
Yes. And so you had this idea. Like, how did that begin? How did the 1 million person march for children actually, how was it conceived?
Well, obviously, I've always been fascinated by Martin Luther King Jr. and Malcolm X and Nelson Mandela. These people are monumental people, and they've all done a 1 million people march. But the idea, like in growing up, hearing about what they've done and stuff like that, I was always fascinated by the character of the courage and fighting for people's civil liberties. And when I was going to these protests as early as June, we managed to go to like 15 or 16 protests that brought Christians and Muslims together, Dr. Ed.
Right.
And I saw that there was a need to protest. People did not find the words to articulate the hurt they're feeling for their kids, the concerns for Canada's future. And I said to them, guys, let's calm down on some of the protests. How about we come together from coast to coast and do a million people march together to unify the nation, unify Christians and Muslims together and bring all denominations in, because it seems that kids are becoming a political item for the special interest groups, for politicians, as a political debate now. And it's also become a target for the Pride community and teachers. So we're going to say to Canada, the Pride community, with all due respect, and the teachers, that only parents have the rights over their kids until they're 18. And then after that, kids decide where they want to go in terms of ideology, a religion, or lifestyles. That's up to them. But until then, we're going to trust Canada's parents to parent Canada's kids.
That's exactly. So now we're getting to the heart of the why of the Million Person March, the Million March for Children, that this is all about standing up against some of, the ideology, and I would call it a religion because it has taken over. And it's the LGBT activists who have kind of captured our parliamentarians, the whole education system, and it goes way above all that. But we won't get into all that today. But this is about protecting our children from an ideology that is physically damaging. It is mentally damaging. It damages them socially, yes. And it is deconstructing the family. And so it is damaging all of society.
Absolutely, Dr. Ann. And what I say to this is, obviously, you know, Muslims are relatively new to the dance, but they were watching idled by as fellow Canadians were protesting, Christians, other denominations, saying, hey, this is bullying, right? And I think the Pride community, and I'm not going to paint everybody with the same brush, that there are people in the Pride community that don't authorize this, and that's fine, and that's fair. But what I'm saying is the Pride community had a 40-year honeymoon where people did not want to offend. They were seeking, oh, you know what, you got to tolerate us. We need equal rights, equal marriage. They got that 10 years ago. What else are you looking for? Oh, you're looking to take away our rights now. And that's where we draw the line in the sand and we say, hands off the kids. And there's also heterosexual rights. This is a free country. We agree to disagree freely. That's what Thomas Jefferson says, right? So that is the idea behind it. We're going to be unapologetic, Dr. Ent. And what I mean by being unapologetic, just like you will strip in Toronto and wave your ornaments in front of kids while being aroused and showing, and this is sexual assault, by the way.
Yes, it is.
Sexual harassment. And if parents are bringing kids there, they should be ashamed of themselves for virtue signaling. Because when I was a kid, Dr. N, and I'm sure when you were a kid, all you cared about is playing on the play structure, drinking from the backyard hose, and playing a little marble, maybe some dolls and stuff like that. You didn't care for sexual orientation or sex of any nature. But what we do know in Canada and in the world is sex is consent between two consenting adults. How is a kid consenting to all this stuff? And so what we're saying is we're going to draw a line in the sand and we're going to be unapologetic about it. And we're going to talk about parents' rights and kids' rights. They trump everybody else's rights.
That's right. They should trump everyone else's rights. There's been such a shifting in sexual mores across the whole nation and across the whole world, the developed world, over the last 40 years. And it's, I've been actually watching it for and researching that for the last 30 years. And what you're saying is absolutely true. And I know from my perspective, just getting people, the general public, to listen, even when some of them were like, well, yeah, well, but, you know, let's just not rock the boat. But they couldn't understand where it was taking them and where it was taking the country. And, you know, when someone is more of a visionary and can see that and has done lots of research and can actually look back and go, wow, yeah, we knew that was going to happen. I still would say I would never, never have expected it, the whole sex education and the transgender phenomenon to explode as it has in the last 3 years. It has just literally taken us on such a damaging road and so damaging
absolutely
for children.
Very reckless.
Yes. And I think what you said is, you know, it's all about leaving our kids alone. Hands off our kids, because our children are our most precious, precious possession, if you want to call it possession.
Absolutely.
But, you know, the children belong to their parents until they are 18. And the schools won't listen to us. They haven't listened to us in probably 2 decades. Now, I'm not saying every principal or every teacher has been, you know, closed off to what we're saying. There are a few, but they are so, that they themselves are so indoctrinated by this activist agenda, and they are so threatened with their jobs, their livelihoods, even against their own good conscience. They have made choices to stay in this system and teach our children horrendous sexual practices and deviancy. And they use and utilize, many of these teachers are utilizing pornographic material in teaching young children. Yesterday, I don't know if you saw this because I know you just flew back to Canada, but in British Columbia, one teacher sent homework home with a four-year-old, a junior kindergarten child, and the homework was to find a place in their house that they were just to do this very discreetly without their parent knowing.
I saw that. Secret. I just saw that this morning. I lost my mind.
And they were to find this secret place in their house where they could privately go to, and I'll say this out loud, masturbate.
That's disgusting.
It's past disgusting. Honestly, I am so angry. If we do not get angry at this kind of behavior, what will we ever get angry with? We need to, and I'm not talking about lashing out. I'm not talking about violence.
No, this
I'm
is a peaceful protest. This is being stern in your convictions.
Absolutely.
And you have the right to be stern, Dr. N. I mean, you're a doctor. You've written books about this. I mean, that's the peaceful way to protest. And now I consider you a sister of mine, and we're fellow Canadians under the Canadian flag, one nation under God, as I always say. So, you know what? We have the right to be angry. We have the right to be frustrated and disgruntled. And we certainly have the right to feel betrayed, because the government, the Pride community, and special interest groups and the media have all failed us, and they betrayed us. Let's just call a spade a spade. Now, is every member of the Pride community doing that? Probably not, but they're the organization that are pushing for these things, and they're courting governments all the time. They're courting teachers too. Okay, and let's hold people responsible. Of course, there needs to be a peaceful approach to all this, because we maintain peaceful approaches all the time. But idea meritocracy is using radical truth to get to a desired equilibrium, okay? And sometimes you have to be bluntly honest. Dr. Jordan Peterson says it best. He says, sharing your opinion and engaging in discourse, you have to risk being offensive at times. Now, you got to be pleasant and compassionate, but at times it does give that offensive tone, which we try, obviously, to clarify when engaging in that discourse.
That's right. And I mean, people choose to take offense.
And yes.
One thing that I've said for many years, it is kind and loving to tell the truth. And if we don't tell the truth, that's on us. And it will be reflected in our children's trust toward us.
Absolutely.
When we are in this public education system telling children lies, like a boy can be a girl can be a boy, that's a
lie. You can
change your secondary sex characteristics, but you can never, ever be the other sex. And we have lied to children.
Yes. And again, what goes on in a transsexual's mind, gender dysphoria, is in that person's mind. And obviously, as a society, we're compassionate, we're accommodating, but we're certainly not going to play the game that's going on in your mind. And I'm telling you, as a Muslim Canadian, you being a Christian Canadian or Jewish or whatever you are, you reserve the right to believe in one male and one female. Just like I have to respect what's going on in your mind and be compassionate, you must respect what goes on in my mind and in my belief. And I'm unapologetic about that, Dr. N.
I'm really happy to hear that, because that's exactly what we need. We need to be able to have freedom of religion.
Absolutely.
And freedom of speech, which of course is so compromised in Canada right now. I want to ask you, Camille, tell me about the march. It's Wednesday, September 20th. It's only 4 days away.
Yes.
And, give us an update on what's happening. And also after that, tell me what your expectations for this march really are.
Oh, wow. So what's happening in the march? The march is gaining momentum every second of every day, which means that it's getting bigger and bigger because Canadians identify with it, because it's a march that is nonpartisan. When you look at the march, Dr. Ann, you're supposed to see the Canadian flag, the beaver tails, the Terry Fox, the Gabriel Leroy and Emily Stowe, who got the woman's vote and the right to vote in Canada. You should see Armand Bombardier, who invented the snowmobile. The march should be something that every Canadian identifies with, irregardless of their belief. So that's why it's attracted Canadians from coast to coast. Every city in every province of this country is coming down, and they're coming down in waves. Now, there are people saying, I called for a 1 million people march, and our staff, our volunteers, our leaders are working around the clock religiously. And as you can see, you've seen some of the groups yourself, Dr. N. You can see how busy and organized chaos it is. That's because we're trying to accommodate the plethora of people that are embracing this march. And every day you'll see an organization embracing it because they identify with it. What is the expectation of the march, you ask? The expectation is, the first thing we want to do is we want to celebrate Canadians of all colors and creeds. Canada is not a Canada without the white Canadians. It certainly is not a Canada without the black and the Middle Eastern Canadians, the Muslims, the Christians, the Jews, the Buddhists, the First Nations. So we're going to celebrate that day. And I think of it as a Canada Day, where we sing Oh Canada together. You're going to see speakers of all walks. You might see priests talking. You might see imams talking. And you're also going to see government officials and politicians walking in the march. They are not allowed to speak at the podium. We want them to listen this time. And we want them to feel the pressure of Canadians telling them you should be ashamed of yourself for clapping for Bill C-4 and voting for it unanimously. We want politicians to listen in this march. We will celebrate politicians of any party, irregardless of their party, for standing by Canadians and families and standing by kids. But we want them to go back and go to their parties and revisit the platforms that they're standing for. They've betrayed Canadian families. They've betrayed kids. What we're looking to do that day, the expectation is the march is uniting Canadians. And after that, we got a 5-year, 10-year, and a 20-plus-year plan. We're bringing Canadians together. We've asked for a national dialogue between Christians and Muslims and Jews and Buddhists to come together to address these challenges so we don't face this oppression again.
This is so marvelous. I mean, I have to say, Camille, this whole movement since it began has just brought such a warmth in my spirit, because for years I've advocated for parents to please stand up for your children, please speak out against the atrocities happening, and they've just been too afraid. And what's happening now is that what it takes is a few of us
absolutely.
Join together, kind of as an advisory, and then all over Canada, people, courage breeds courage, right?
Absolutely.
And when the individuals can see what's happening, they're like, oh my goodness, I wanted to do something for years, but I just haven't been able to. And
yes,
because of different reasons. And so now we have parents and citizens all over Canada, sending us messages and saying, where's the march in my town? Where's the march in my city? And how can I help with this? It's just been phenomenal.
It's a beautiful problem to have, isn't it, Dr. Ann?
You said it's organized chaos. I'm not sure how organized the chaos is. We'll know at the end of the day on the 20th. But I mean, the reality is people are going to come from all walks of life and join together on behalf of their children and grandchildren for the ability to have classical education.
Absolutely.
Not indoctrination, but true education. And if this education system across Canada, I know it's provincial, but our prime minister seems to have a lot to do with it. And
yes,
upper level
pressure on her provinces.
Yes, but sorry, Camille, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. No, I'm just saying he's putting pressure on the provinces. He's put $1.5 billion in 8 years to the Pride community. He's showed up to drag queen races. He's not, like, again, the prime minister can live the way he likes, okay? But when Canadians are barely, living on meals and paying for their mortgage, and there's homelessness galore throughout the country, where are your priorities? You're supposed to be leading all of Canada. And I'm sorry, we're going to be loud and clear. And we're going to tell you you're doing a terrible job and you're not Canada's prime minister, although you're taking that position.
Well, you said something just right at the first there that prime ministers can live the life they like. You know, Camille, there was a time in Canada where that wasn't true. We had expectations of our politicians.
Yes,
we had an expectation that our prime minister would be moral, would be just, would be kind. And
absolutely,
there is a pseudo kindness to our prime minister, but it's just skin deep. Let me tell you, there is a whole other level there that's very scary, I think. But we have expectations of how our politicians would act and how they would behave, and we expected a certain level of morality. And what we have seen with this prime minister is an embracing of every kind of immoral behavior imaginable. And I mean, some people will take offense when I say that it's immoral behavior. Well, let me tell you, drag queens performing in our classrooms is an immoral event. There is no way.
It's a violation on civil liberties. It's sexual. It's pedophilia. It's child pornography. Let's call it spade a spade. If a gay man wants to dress in a skirt and strip to another gay man, they can do it in the adult bars where 18 plus happens in the country. There's enough of those. Go to the strip joints. You do what you want. I disagree with it. Don't get me wrong, but you do what you want. This is a free society. But don't you inflict and compel me to live your lifestyle, because I am a man of morals. You are certainly a woman of morals. And you said something really nice about Canada's politicians and prime ministers. We're going to change the fabric of who kind of runs this country. They need to be people of morals. They need to be God-fearing, of the Abrahamic faiths, or, you know, they're good Buddhists or whatever they are. They need to have a strong moral compass. This turning the other cheek on partygoers, like, let's face it, Justin Trudeau is the son of an ex-prime minister. He lived a lavish lifestyle. He does what he wants whenever he wants and doesn't care what everybody thinks. And this is unacceptable. It's incredibly narcissistic and incredibly insulting.
It's actually very insulting to most Canadians. I mean, there's a handful that really like him, I guess. But, you know, I think we need to really take a good evaluation of what our expectations are as Canadians. And it's about time that we had higher expectations for those in any kind of leadership, and that they would lead with a good character. Like, I mean, whoever is leading. And so when we talk, you said something there about pedophiles, and I just wanted to go back a bit, because I think this is really important for people to understand about the LGBTQ activists and pedophilia. Now, I said activists, and I want to make this very clear. It's not only pedophilia is in every area of life, as far as whether it's heterosexual or homosexual or transsexual. In fact, transsexuals are the biggest target right now for pedophiles. And we need to understand that this education system, and one of the reasons we need to be angry at what's going on and how our children are being sexualized, is because it's actually opening the door for them to be vulnerable, extremely vulnerable to pedophiles. And it's almost like this plan that pedophilia becomes an orientation. And I've talked about this in other podcasts, that actually that is a big plan with the academic societies, and particularly with psychologists and psychiatrists with the APA. So this is not just pie in the sky. This is, oh yeah, you're way out there. No, this is the reality. And if we don't do this, and I said this to Bahira, your friend, that this particular day, Wednesday, September 20th, 2023, is a pivotal moment in Canada.
Absolutely.
We have to see, we have to come together to change what is happening, to change the very trajectory of Canadian education, and maybe down the road, policy and political involvement.
Absolutely. And again, they're trying to normalize that. We said, hold up, we put the brakes on. And I'm not going to use the term minor attracted persons. I'm going to call it pedophiles. Don't make something a pleasantry. Pedophiles can deal with Canada's inmates in Canada's jails. That's where they belong. I'm sorry. And I'm going to be unapologetic about that too. Now, if you want to go see a psychologist and get some help, I will, obviously support you. And you want to fix that mental disorder or whatever it is. But it is a disorder, and it is a threat to our kids. And as a parent, and you being a parent, Dr. Anne, and Canada's parents, we're going to have zero tolerance for that.
Yes. And, there are laws in Canada about public nudity and sex in public places. And you had mentioned something about the gays in gay bars, go back to their gay bars. Yes, whatever. But we need to have some policies. The laws that are already in the books, they need to be adhered to. And we need to stand firm as parents. Parents have been, they're virtue signaling to all this stuff, and they're putting their children at risk. And when you were talking about the Pride Parade and homosexuals who were sexually aroused, naked, sexually aroused, when children, I mean, there's pictures of this, when children are walking past them, it just makes me cringe. And it's so horrific because they're pedophiles.
We're watching sexual harassment publicly, and it's celebrated by Canada's politicians, and all of them should be ashamed of themselves, and we're going to hold them accountable. And I'm going to be very, very blunt about that. Okay. Obviously, and we're going to give politicians a chance to fix this. I don't care what party they are. That's why we're nonpartisan. This is unacceptable.
Yes, and I want to make it clear that not all homosexuals are pedophiles. That's not what I was saying about the Pride Parade. But the picture, in this picture, it is obviously obvious that this man is aroused by the child.
Well, did you see what else happened in that festival? You're calling this a kids' festival, a Canadian festival, and something we should be proud of. What should make us proud? I don't care. I'm not going to paint everybody with the same brush. I keep saying this in all my interviews and my speeches. Okay, tell me what should we be proud of when a pride man or a woman or whatever is carrying a penis super soaker and squirting water on kids' faces. Tell me, what is the significance of that? And in Ottawa, there were sexual toys used as darts on a dartboard. And I don't want to go specific because I'd have to wash my mouth afterwards.
Well, and you know, all of those are depictions of sexual activities within the homosexual society, the culture. And why are we allowing that? And most Canadians are oblivious to those kind of things. And I hope they all stay oblivious at some level, because you don't want to know what goes on.
They will be
in those communities.
And Wednesday, September 20th, 2023 at 9 a.m. from coast to coast, Dr. N, the nation's going to watch Canada's moms and dads and children celebrate together and confront oppression without fear. That's what they're going to do.
Yes. Well, I just really, really thank you, Camille, for all you have done. This has been a labor of love, for sure, getting this together, bringing us all together, and speaking the truth together. This is what we are all about, and that's what I'm about. Telling the truth is loving and kind, and we want to continue to tell the truth. So thank you very much for joining me today, and we'll see you in Ottawa.
Yes, I look forward to it, and I look forward to get a signed copy of your book. I'd like to buy one.
Okay, I'll have it for you.
Thank you very much. God bless you, Dr. N.
Thank you for joining us today with me and my friend Camille El-Sheikh with handsoffourkids.ca. I invite you to check out my website, restoringthemosaic.ca, and to look at it very carefully. There's lots of resources on it. It's just been updated. It looks great. Also, check out my books, because if you want to know more about why we are standing for our children, for the sake of our children, and against the indoctrination that's happening in our public education and higher academics as well, then you'll find some good information there. Thanks again.